Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. You know, we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. I hope that your Monday was not too painful. I hope that Monday went well for you, and now we can move on with our week. You know, before we get going, if you would like to contact us, let us know how your week is going. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have an issue that you would like us to tackle here at The Dose. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to us. You know, today on the show, okay, I'll be honest, it's a little bit of a slow news day. We have a couple of things we're going to discuss, but more importantly, we're actually going to take a look at something else today. We're going to take a look at the world of football today, because football season is coming, and I'm not even going to lie, I can't wait for it. I want it here already. Going to be talking about a couple of surprises that we could see in the world of football this year. Like I said, not a whole lot coming out in the world of breaking sports news, but we did have a couple of stories coming out that I wanted to touch on. First off, we are going to talk some NASCAR. What? Yes, hold your breath. Get ready. We're going to discuss some NASCAR because apparently NASCAR CEO and chairman Brian France was arrested on charges of aggravated driving while intoxicated and criminal possession of a controlled substance. That is according to a New York Police Department news release. According to that release, CEO and chairman of NASCAR Brian France was arrested at 7:30 p.m. Sunday night. He was held overnight and arraigned Monday morning. He was released on his own recognizance. Upon search of his person, due to a lawful arrest, Mr. France was in possession of oxycodone pills. Here is what NASCAR said in their statement. We are aware of an incident that occurred last night, and we are in the process of gathering more information. We take this as a serious matter, and we will issue a statement after we have all the facts. Now, Brian France is 56 years old. He is the grandson of NASCAR founder William H.G. France. He is the son of Bill France Jr. Here's the question that I have. Brian France, who do you think you are? What in the world do you think is going on here? Who in the world do you think you are? You're the CEO and the chairman of NASCAR. A DUI? Aggravated driving while intoxicated and criminal possession of a controlled substance? You're not in the NFL. What are you doing right now? What are you doing with your life? You know, speaking of the NFL, can you just imagine for one brief second what would happen if Roger Goodell actually did something like this? I know we hate Goodell. Every time Goodell goes to the draft, he's at a public place. Everyone boos him. He shows up at a game. Everyone's booing him. Boo, Roger Goodell. We hate Roger Goodell. Can you imagine if Goodell did something like this where you actually did have a reason to get mad at him? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine if Roger Goodell said what NBA commissioner Adam Silver said, that the NFL had a contract with a sports betting house they were going to partner up with? We would kill Roger Goodell for that. Adam Silver does that. We're like, what an innovative guy. He's so innovative. He's so smart. He's so ahead of the game. He's been looking at doing this for years. If Goodell did it, we would be like, what a selfish jerk. Man, the NFL sucks. But we hate Roger Goodell. We hate his guts. Speaking of that NBA, it looks like Greg Monroe is going to be switching teams again. It was reported on Monday that the 8-year veteran has agreed to a contract with the Toronto Raptors. Now, Greg Monroe is not exactly a guy that swings a super team. Remember, he was the number 7 overall pick back in 2010. He spent the first 5 years of his career with the Detroit Pistons. Then he went to the Milwaukee Bucks in 2015. This last year, he was actually with 3 different teams. He started with Milwaukee. Then he was traded to Phoenix for Eric Bledsoe in November. Then he was bought out by Phoenix. And in February, he went to the Boston Celtics. He played a few decent minutes with Boston while he was out there. Now he goes to Toronto. I mean, this guy changes teams more than, I don't know, like LeBron James. Oh! Well, Not that much, but you get what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he changes teams a lot. Greg Monroe switches teams a lot, doesn't he? It's kind of crazy to think about. Been with like 5-6 teams now. One story coming out in the NFL that I did want to touch on, being that it's taking place here in my hometown, because we had an incident here with my hometown Denver Broncos. Not sure if you heard about this one. It's kind of an odd one. Just a week into training camp with the Denver Broncos, recently acquired punter Marquette King has apparently had some sort of run-in with a local radio host after a practice. Now, King is always really active on social media. He's been very, very active since coming to Denver. That's not going to change. That's just what he does. And he's done a number of interviews with a number of different outlets. He'll do radio interviews. He does TV interviews. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're interesting. Marquette King's a different guy. He's a very different guy. But apparently on Friday, he appeared on a local station here, 104.3 The Fan, and he was on with former Broncos wide receiver Brandon Stokely and another interviewer named Zach Bye. Now, the two hosts actually cut this interview short after only like 90 seconds because King kept giving really short answers to their question. At one point, they asked Marquette King why he wasn't giving bigger answers, why he wasn't expanding on his topics, and King said he didn't like talking about football. Then on Saturday, apparently King tweeted some, I don't know, emojis that were signifying some sort of obscenity, and he was directing them at a local radio station host here in Denver. Why he called out this particular host, I don't know, because he wasn't even involved in the interview, but he singled him out. Maybe he called him out for doing what he did with Stokely and Bye. I don't know what it was. But he singled him out on Twitter, and he went after this local radio host. And now you have this local radio host and Marquette King going back and forth at each other on Twitter. There's like this Twitter war going back and forth between these two guys. So here in Denver, like it's kind of a big story, but I want us all to think about this for just one second. And let's just kind of slim this down to what we can. We have right now punter on sports media crime. Like just let that kind of pass through your head real quick. Punter versus sports media. Who cares? This is like who won the big Dungeons and Dragons tournament. Folks, we have an announcement here today on the Daily Dose. We have officially reached the bottom of the sports barrel this summer. This is it. Punter on sports media. Oh my goodness, can football please get here already? I can't take it much more. Hey, you know what? I'm not talking about these stupid news stories anymore. Coming back, football season is coming quickly. Not quickly enough, but it is coming quickly. We are going to take a look at a few things that just might be a bit of a surprise this year. So as the football season gets closer, I wanted to take a look this week at a few surprises that maybe shouldn't surprise us so much. What do we do when we look at what's going to happen in an upcoming season of sports? We say the same thing every year. Okay, well, what happened last year? Okay, that's going to happen again. Yeah, but that's not how it goes. I mean, it's rare that we just see the same exact teams going to the playoffs and the same exact teams going to the championship and the same exact team winning the championship every year. I mean, unless it's the NBA, and then we have some questions about their integrity anyways. But in the NFL, every single season, we see teams improve. We see teams step up and play their way into the postseason. We see teams that we looked at and said, hey, that's a pretty good team. They take a step back. They get worse. We see players improve. We see players get better. We see players take a step back in their career as well. This week on the Daily Dose, we are going to take a look at a few of those possibilities and see if we can't figure out maybe a few things to expect so that we're just not quite as surprised as some other people might be. You know, we always try to be a little bit more informed here at the Dose. We're going to take a look at a few things that could be a little bit surprising. And I want to start off in the NFL, and I actually want to look at a few players that could be sort of maybe forgotten or overlooked for a number of different reasons and see which ones could have a bounce back year this year. Who could have a bigger year than they did a year ago? Or maybe a bigger year than anyone was expecting. Maybe you're a fan. Maybe you actually do go out and you play fantasy football. Here are a few players that I think could be better this upcoming football season. Now, one place I want to look is at someone who was injured last season. And if we're looking for injuries, then honestly, I mean, where else could we start except for the Los Angeles Chargers, who suffer season-ending injuries every single year? They're just walking from the parking lot to the football complex, boom, down, ACL. It happens every year. It's already happened a few times this year, and it happened last year. With their 7th overall pick of the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chargers selected Clemson wide receiver Mike Williams. Now, Williams is a 6'3", 220-pound wideout. He can go up and he can battle for the football. In 4 seasons at Clemson, Williams caught 21 touchdowns. Everyone looked at this situation and said, hey, Mike Williams is going to be a great fit with Phillip Rivers. He's going to be a great fit in that Chargers offense. He's going to be able to stretch the field for them. And then he hurt his back last year in training camp. And then he hurt his knee. He only started one game. He made 11 catches all year. But I'm telling you right now, expect big things out of Mike Williams this season. They say he has been very impressive so far in training camp. We know Phillip Rivers is always looking for another target, probably another babysitter, whatever. But don't be surprised if Mike Williams puts up huge numbers this year. I've got another guy for you. And it wasn't that he was injured. He just wasn't all that great. But he wasn't nearly as bad as everyone acts like he was. And he could be significantly better this year. If I were to ask you right now, think about this. If I were to ask you, how was New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning last year? What would you say? Oh, geez. He was horrible. He got benched. His coach got fired. Eli probably should have just retired last year because he was awful. And I completely understand that sentiment. The New York Giants were an abysmal 3-13. Head coach Ben McAdoo was fired after week 12. Eli probably did what? He threw like, I don't know, 9 touchdowns, what, 23 interceptions? Something like that, wouldn't you say? Actually, no. Eli Manning still completed 62% of his passes. He actually threw 19 touchdowns. He only had 13 interceptions. And that was a bad, bad year for Eli. Now, this year, the New York Giants add former New England Patriots left tackle Nate Solder. Yes, he's past his prime, but he's definitely an improvement over what they had. And they also signed offensive guard Patrick Omeh and drafted stud running back Saquon Barkley. That has to mean an improvement for Eli Manning, doesn't it? It can't be any worse. Don't be surprised if Eli Manning has a pretty good year this year. Now, staying in the NFC East, one of the biggest stories from a season ago was the battle between Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott and the NFL. And again, we all hate Roger Goodell. The NFL suspended Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games for violating their personal conduct policy. Elliott tried to fight it, and as usual, Roger Goodell and the NFL won. So Elliott played in just 10 games. Now, he still managed to rush for almost 1,000 yards, but by the time he came back, the Cowboys were sitting at 3-3. Now, I would think that Dallas is going to be looking to get off to a better start this year, and with the loss of wide receiver Dez Bryant, wouldn't you just kind of think that would mean a heavy dose of Zeke? I mean, I know Jason Garrett is a really, really smart guy. I keep being told that. But you would think at some point he's going to actually prove that he's smart, and we're not just going to hear that. He's actually going to prove he's smart, and he's just going to hand the ball off. He's going to have a big, big running game. At some point, it has to happen, doesn't it? Like a blind squirrel finds a nut at some point, doesn't he? We'll see if Ezekiel Elliott has a bounce back year this year. I would think that he would. Another guy that should have a much bigger season than he did last year is, of course, a guy that missed 9 games in 2017. Yes, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers suffered a broken collarbone in week 6 against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, he returned in week 15. He played against the Carolina Panthers. The Packers lost, and by then they were 7-8 and eliminated from playoff contention. Now, for the year, Aaron Rodgers still had 16 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions, but who knows what he would have done last year if he would have played the whole season. Now, hopefully, we get a full season from Aaron Rodgers this year. Hey, he is as talented a quarterback as has ever played in the NFL, ever. Just pure talent. I'm not talking about Super Bowls. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. Pure talent. I put him right there with the John Elways, with the Steve Youngs, with the Randall Cunninghams. Aaron Rodgers is a physical freak. He has every tool you could possibly want in your quarterback. He just doesn't always seem to have a lot of help around him, and that is what has hurt him. Aaron Rodgers should be back and have a big, big year this year. Now, in the NFL, I don't just want to discuss surprising players that are going to be good. Because what about the other side? What about players that we could be expecting a lot from? Maybe we have huge expectations for, and they just might struggle to live up to those expectations. Yeah, I've got another few players. They might surprise us this year in the NFL, but it might not be a good surprise. Might be kind of something else. I'm going to start off with a rookie quarterback, and that is totally and completely unfair. I understand. It's not his fault. It's just that he's getting a ton of expectations already dumped on him. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson is insanely talented. He is as explosive a runner as I have ever seen in the history of college football. And he can fire that football. He has a very, very strong arm. But I do have some serious doubts about Lamar Jackson this year. I don't know if he's going to be able to step up this season and just light the world on fire. This isn't college football anymore. See, here's the difference. At Louisville, we would see Lamar Jackson drop back in that spread offense. He would make one read. He would read like the defensive end. He would take one look. I have one receiver to check. Nothing there. I'm taking off. And you might see Lamar Jackson in college take off for 60, 70, 80 yards. He's flying down the field looking like a sprinter. Yet this isn't college football. You make one read and you take off here, you might get your spleen ruptured because the linebackers in the NFL, they're almost as fast as you are. Some of them are as fast as you are. Now, maybe Lamar Jackson develops as a pocket passer. Maybe he eventually grows into a legitimate starting quarterback and he ends up replacing Joe Flacco. But I've got some serious doubts about that happening this year. If you are out there and you are a fantasy football person and you're saying, hey, Lamar Jackson might be a steal, yeah, keep in mind, Lamar Jackson is extremely raw. They may put him in and they may let him do some slash kind of stuff. He's not going to be a starter unless there is an injury to Flacco. And unless Flacco's just so bad that John Harbaugh says, you know what? I have no choice. I've got to throw this kid in there. And if he does, it's probably not going to go that well. You know, if there is a memorable moment from last year, it is probably the Minnesota Vikings pulling out that improbable win in the NFC divisional playoffs against the New Orleans Saints. Remember that? Trailing 24-22, just 10 seconds left, the Minnesota Vikings were at their own 39-yard line. When Case Keenum found wide receiver Stephon Diggs, somehow the Saints defenders like trip over each other and Diggs takes it all the way to the end zone as the clock runs out. Actually, here's a clip of that play from Fox.
Steps into it, passes, caught, Diggs, sideline, touchdown, unbelievable, Vikings win it!
Now, the Minnesota Vikings have signed quarterback Kirk Cousins and Diggs, who had 64 catches for 849 yards and 8 touchdowns last year. He's going to be even better this year, isn't he? Well, don't count on it. Hey, I like Stephon Diggs a lot. I'm not trying to put down Diggs or saying he's not as good of a player as advertised or any of that. But he's never played all 16 games in a season. We can pretend that he's suddenly just going to be healthy all the time now because he had that great play, but odds are not in his favor. He could have a bit of a letdown, and it will probably be he's probably going to miss some playing time due to injury because he always has missed playing time due to injury. Be careful about Stephon Diggs. I'm not even saying don't take him or don't have expectations of him. Probably not going to be quite as good as it was a year ago, though. He just has a hard time staying healthy. Now, this next guy is actually kind of in a strange situation. I think he's going to be better than he was last year, but that's not saying a lot. Because Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck missed the entire year with a shoulder injury. In fact, he hasn't been on the field at all since the 2016 season. Now, this year, of course, the Colts are telling us Andrew Luck is fine. He's good to go. He's going to return to form. He's going to be better than ever. I'm not buying it. They also said this last year at this time, and he never came back at all. The bottom line is this. Let's just pretend Andrew Luck is completely physically healthy, which is probably somewhat wishful thinking. Andrew Luck still isn't going to have any help around him. The offensive line is bad. The skill positions are below average. The defense is one of the worst in the league. Add to that fact, Andrew Luck hasn't been touched by anyone other than, I don't know, his doctors or maybe a massage therapist in well over a year. It makes the whole scenario a little more sketchy, doesn't it? What will Luck do when he takes a Calais Campbell helmet in the shoulder? I have no idea, but I bet it won't be good. Be careful about Andrew Luck this year. Now, this next guy, it's not just a Broncos fan hating on the Raiders. I swear it's not. If it helps, I'll tell you right now, avoid all Broncos offensive players for your fantasy team this year. But this is actually more of a system issue than that. Also, it's a little bit of an issue of Amari Cooper sometimes forgets how to catch the ball. So there's that. Now, Amari Cooper had his worst season in his three-year career last year. He had just 48 catches for 680 yards. This year, head coach Jack Del Rio is gone. John Gruden is taking over. And I expect the Raiders' passing numbers in general to go down. I think Gruden is going to try to run the football more. He's going to try to hide his defense, which he knows has a number of holes. I don't know if it's going to work, but I don't think Derek Carr is going to be out there slinging the ball all over the place. And as a result, Amari Cooper's numbers might not be great. They might be very, very similar to what they were last year. And last year was a bad year. Don't be surprised if Amari Cooper doesn't have this huge breakout year this year. Our final player I want to look at in the NFL. And before you tell me I'm crazy and maybe a jerk or whatever, hear me out on this one. I am a big fan of Houston Texans' second-year quarterback, Deshaun Watson. I have been since he was at Clemson. Everyone else was getting excited about Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes. I liked Deshaun Watson. You can go back and listen to it. I said it here on the show. Deshaun Watson just wins. I would have drafted him before either of those other two guys. And last year, when he got his chance to play, he looked like he was totally worthy of a top draft pick. Deshaun Watson started 6 games. He threw an incredible 19 touchdowns. Now, of course, in early November, Deshaun tore his ACL in a non-contact practice drill, and his season was over. But 1,700 yards, 19 touchdowns in just 6 games? Again, I was told there would be no math, but let me see if I can do the calculations here. That means this year, he's going to throw for 4,500 yards and 51 touchdowns. Yeah, slow down. That'd be amazing. I'll give you that. Also, completely unrealistic. Remember this, Deshaun Watson is coming off of a significant knee injury. It is rare to return and be every bit as good. He's going to have to be more careful. He can't be quite as daring as he was last year. And also, teams are going to study his film. They're going to start taking away what he liked to do last year. Then we're going to see if Deshaun Watson can adjust. I expect him to eventually come back and be okay, but there's going to be a learning curve for Deshaun Watson. It's not going to be quite as easy as it was last year. Plus, one other small item. Yeah, that Houston Texans offensive line, it's still not very good. So good luck with that. Like Deshaun Watson a lot, might have a little bit of a tougher year this year. Hey, coming back, we're going to continue to look at a few players that could surprise us this season, and we're actually going to be switching over to the world of college football. Just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. August Loot Crate theme is out, and it features items from Rick and Morty, Office Space, Harley Quinn, and DC Comics. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose, which we do appreciate. Now, let's continue to look at a few surprises to expect this coming football season. But let's switch it over to college football. Now, we know that the Alabama Crimson Tide are in the middle of a little bit of a quarterback controversy with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. They are battling for that starting spot. But we all know this. The key to Alabama's success, it's way more about their defense, and it's way more about their running game. Now, Bo Scarborough is in Dallas with the Cowboys, and a lot of that rushing load is probably going to fall on senior running back Damian Harris. Last year, Harris was actually splitting time with Scarborough. He still managed to pick up 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns. If Damian Harris stays healthy, those numbers are actually going to go up. Don't be shocked to see someone like Damian Harris maybe even get his name out there as far as a Heisman. It could happen real easily. Now, if you want a little bit of a dark horse for a Heisman candidate, or a little bit of a dark horse to be a top NFL draft pick next year, you might want to take a look at a guy. He's not going to be on the best team, but he's going to be very appealing to NFL scouts. North Carolina State has kind of a sneaky history of producing pretty good NFL offensive talent. Phillip Rivers, Russell Wilson, Jacoby Brissett, and Torrey Holt, they are all former members of the North Carolina State Wolfpack. Now this year, quarterback Ryan Finley is a pretty good pocket passer. He has proven to be very good at this one item. Get this. He actually takes care of the football and doesn't have silly turnovers.
Yeah!
Yeah, that'd be kind of nice at the next level, wouldn't it? Last year, Ryan Finley threw for over 3,500 yards, 17 touchdowns, but he just had 6 interceptions. No, North Carolina State probably won't do much in the national picture, but if Finley can top those numbers this year, he's going to put himself in the first round of that NFL draft because we know how desperate the NFL is for starting quarterbacks. Speaking of how the NFL is starved for quarterbacks, some of the reason for that is because they're also starving for quality offensive linemen. Now, if Michael Dieter from Wisconsin has a solid year this year, he could play his way into being a top pick this next year too. We know Wisconsin running back Jonathan Taylor put up nearly 2,000 yards last year, and he's back again this year. And he could be even better because the Badgers returned their entire offensive line from last year, including the versatile Dieter, who has now started games for Wisconsin at center, at guard, and at tackle at 6'6", 300 pounds. Hey, Dieter has the size the NFL wants, and he's athletic enough to move and play all three positions on the offensive line. Tell me an NFL team that doesn't need that guy. Yeah, I'm not sure they exist, because everyone wants a piece of Michael Dieter if he comes out and has another year this year. Keep an eye on him and the Wisconsin Badgers this year. You know, we spoke a little bit earlier about the Clemson Tigers and how they have been sending the NFL some pretty good players. We talked about wide receiver Mike Williams. We talked about quarterback Deshaun Watson. Yeah, they've also sent the NFL guys like Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins, some pretty good wide receivers there. And this year, they might have another guy that could do it again. He's a little bit thin. I won't lie, but wow, is he talented. T. Higgins is 6'3", just 200 pounds, but he is capable of stretching the field in a big way. When you see him, it's going to be hard not to think a little bit of DeAndre Hopkins. Last year as a freshman, he only had 17 catches, but he turned those into 345 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's going to get more playing time this year. And if he's getting more passes, yeah, he's probably turning those into big, big plays because he has some serious speed. He is a legitimate threat to take the football to the house every time he touches the ball. Keep an eye on T. Higgins this year. Don't be surprised if he has a big year. Our final surprise in college football. And you know, I'm not sure if the USC Trojans are going to be a national power this year. They lost quarterback Sam Darnold. They lost running back Ronald Jones. I think they're going to end up settling on JT Daniels at quarterback. We'll see. But I think the bulk of the running yards are going to come from sophomore running back Stephen Carr. Last year, he was backing up Ronald Jones. He still managed 363 yards and 3 touchdowns. This year, Stephen Carr is going to be a guy you're going to want to watch. Out at USC, he is probably going to have huge numbers as they're going to be trying to figure out that quarterback situation. I think they can lean pretty heavily on Stephen Carr. He might not be a guy you know right now. By the end of the college football season, I'll bet you're going to know the name Stephen Carr. Couple of players we just threw out there in college football. Again, now you're not surprised. When you hear those names, you go, oh yeah, I expected him to have a big year. I actually heard about him on the Daily Dose already. I know what he's about at least a little bit. College football is coming and I cannot wait for it. It is going to be wide open and it is going to be another fun year. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we are going to continue to take a look at a few different things that could surprise us in the coming football season. Plus, as usual, we will be bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of sports news. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that send us messages, thank you so much. It is appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.